Coming up, we'll visit with Derek Gould, brought to you in Brilliant Clarity by Lordo's Diamonds. Family-owned and operated for over 60 years. Top quality jewelry at affordable prices. Stop paying too much at the chain stores and stop in and experience the Lordo's Diamonds difference. You'll enjoy the relaxed and no-pressure atmosphere and selection. It's second to none. 9222 Clayton Road, lordosdiamonds.com. Coming up, a lot to get into, from Tyler O'Neill to Paul DeJong, Dexter Fowler, Marcell Ozuna. What would be Derek's starting five right now in the rotation for the St. Louis Cardinals? All that and more coming up with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Long visit on this off day. The Cardinals off, and then a doubleheader tomorrow. Day-night doubleheader for St. Louis. Coming to you from Jupiter, Florida, from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks. Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And Derek, it's an off day for the Cardinals. They're back at it again tomorrow. But yesterday, really all about Tyler O'Neill. Give me your impressions of the young man that just continues to hit with power and really making big, big impressions down here in camp.
Well, I agree. What, his first four hits of spring were home runs, and then you had his fifth hit of spring. All that was a double down the line. I think we're seeing him adjust and reach and drive pitches that we just did not see him do last year. This has been something he and new hitting coach Jeff Albert have talked a lot about, going back to the Frozen Rope Summit, if we'll call it that, when all the guys or four of the guys got together in Texas at Matt Carpenter's ranch and met with Jeff Albert, some of them for the first time, including Tyler O'Neill, and kind of got a sense of his ideas, what they wanted to do. One of the things that they talked to him about was like the high fastball that he would chase that he couldn't reach. And the argument was, look, you can foul that pitch off. You can do a lot with it to just stay alive in the count. And they're seeing that from him. And then you're seeing him, if he puts the ball in play, he puts it in play with authority.
It's been interesting, the adjustment of laying off a slider, too. I've seen him get out with that pitch. I've seen him chase it. You know, I saw it more last year, but he's laying off that pitch a little bit more. And to me, that's a major adjustment right now in watching Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we've seen him just absolutely ignore breaking balls out of the zone. Now, I think all of this comes with a little bit of a caveat, right? I mean, it's early March. You're seeing a lot of starting pitchers, a lot of relievers who will be in AAA, a lot of starters who aren't quite as sharp with their breaking ball. I mean, look, not everybody's Jack Flaherty at this point is my point. And you have, you know, I mean, you just have a guy who, yes, he's laying off breaking balls out of the zone. He's also seeing breaking balls out of the zone at this point. What happens when he starts seeing breaking balls in the zone? Does he then lay off of those? And does that put him in bad spots? I think we're going to see really his awareness and his evolution in the coming weeks as he gets a feel for the strike zone. And that's when things get really competitive, because now after the off day, you're going to see the Cardinals expecting to see some significant advancements from, say, Marcell Ozuna, the left fielder, and whether he'll be available for opening day, or Dexter Fowler, the planned starting right fielder, and even the planned number two hitter, and what production he has. So I think you're going to see these things narrow a bit in the coming weeks, so that you go, well, is Tyler O'Neill laying off sliders that are balls out of the hand? And that's an advancement, but is he going to start taking, say, pitches that are in breaking pitches that are in the zone? or have we really seen an adjustment on his part to maximize his power? And then where is the production from the other guys? Where's the readiness from the veterans?
Are we seeing, though, pressure put on the veterans by Tyler O'Neill, in particular on Ozuna, and let's face it, with Dexter Fowler, too?
I think not at this point, Dan. I know that that's not going to be a popular thing, and I know that people everywhere right now have probably paused this podcast and gotten angry on Twitter. I think as of right now, Tyler O'Neill has confirmed the Cardinals' view of him, that he took to heart their suggestions. He took to heart their encouragement. He took to heart the instructions that he needed to do, the adjustments that he needed to make. And I think what he's done is shown that he can do these things and then produce as well. And that's what early spring is about. He's gotten playing time. He's been able to maximize that, get attention, and position himself well, which is where the Cardinals thought he was going to be, as a guy off their bench, as a right-handed hitting alternative to Fowler in right field, as a sometimes outfielder who brings the thunder. I think what is why he hasn't closed the gap on, say, Fowler or Ozuna is because of, you know, what's ahead, in the sense that they understood that Ozuna came in behind, both with his shoulder and with his fitness. So they gave him time to, A, get in conditioning shape and also strengthen that shoulder. What do they see from here? There's still more games remaining than games played. And that's important to point out, because you're going to start seeing Fowler in back-to-back days. You're going to start seeing Fowler in other spots in the lineup. You're going to start seeing if Fowler has his timing, which I'm not dismissing the need for production from him or from Ozuna. That's important. But I think you're going to get that time to do that. Let's also be candid. Whether Tyler O'Neill is the starting right fielder on opening day or whether he's the starting left fielder on opening day is beside the point. What he's doing now is laying the groundwork to get substantial at-bats. And if that means overtaking either of those two returning starters, then that will happen not in spring training. That will happen as the season goes on. And you'll look up in July, you'll look up in August, and you'll go, goodness, Tyler O'Neill has a lot of at-bats compared to those other guys. He must be doing something right.
You know, a player that we have not talked a lot about at all in our podcast, shortstop Paul DeJong, kind of a ho-hum camp, and I know you've had the chance to write about him here recently.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's interesting. Like, you're right. Like, Tyler O'Neill was sort of the headline against the Bronx Bombers, right? He goes and hits the home run with the distance and has the two extra base hits. You know, on the day that Stanton and Judge are both in the lineup, that kind of thing. But there goes Paul DeJong. And before the game, two conversations I had. One I had with Mike Schilt, and he brought up, look, Paul DeJong has a lot of different ways that he can beat you. He's one of those players with a skill set that says, look, I don't have the bat today, I'm going to beat you with the glove. Look, I don't have the glove today, I'm going to beat you with the bat. Look, I'm walking today, I'm going to beat you with my base running. He has a lot of different ways that he can beat you. And then we saw it all in that game. It's almost like Schilt called his shots, or maybe I was asking the right questions. He hits a home run. He walks the leadoff an inning. He knows the timing of the pitcher, so he steals second base. That creates a run when Colton Wong drops down a savvy bunt, which they want to make part of his game. And really smart baseball there produces a run. You have Paul DeJong also doubling in that game, scoring two runs, playing well at shortstop. And that brought me to the other conversation that I had yesterday, which was with Troy Tulowitzki. Troy Tulowitzki, the Cardinal who never was.
Right.
Is that a good way to describe him?
I would say so. A lot of trades on the table for him that never came to fruition.
Yeah, never got the Rockies to bite. Lots of interest. And then it came time to make a deal, and the Cardinals were reluctant to take him on. And you kind of see why now, with Toronto paying him many, many millions to go and play for the Yankees. So I talked to Troy Tulowitzki because I was really struck by the fact that, you know, Paul DeJong's rookie year was a rarity. You know, the blend of power from that position doesn't happen all that much. You're talking about like 20-plus doubles, 20-plus home runs, 60-plus RBIs. And yeah, I know those are counting stats, fine. But also 500 plus slugging percentage, 800 plus OPS. These are all things that not many shortstops do. And in fact, the last two shortstops to have consecutive years like Paul DeJong had in his rookie year, both played shortstop for the Rockies. Not even consecutive years. Trevor Story had it in separate years. And then Troy Tulowitzki had it four times during his peak years with the Rockies, and he was the only shortstop at the time to do that. And so I talked to him about, like, durability, right? Like, Paul has talked to me a few times this spring about his idea that he's trying to make a career, not a career year, and that he's making choices now with his workouts, with his nutritions, with how he plans, how many swings he takes, with the ground balls he takes, all these things to prolong his career as well as prolong his time at shortstop. You know, and Troy Tulowitzki, I talked to him about it, and he said, you know, and people can read more about this in the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com, but, you know, just about how you do that, because there were some things that Tulowitzki did, as he told me, that caught up with him, took their toll, and he physically was unable to play. I mean, Dan, do you remember the last time you saw him in a major league game?
Oh, man, it's been 3-4 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, July 2017 was the last time he played in the majors, and even then he was hampered.
Right, and that's in person I probably saw him. I mean, I know he played after that, but yeah, in person. Yeah. Long time.
It's remarkable that when you think about it, because, I mean, Troy Tulowitzki was such a prominent, A, shortstop, and B, presence with the Cardinals, because it was like, all right, well, when is he going to show up and be a Cardinal?
Right.
So we paid so much attention to him. And it's just been so long because injuries have plagued him. I think it's really interesting, you know, that Paul DeJong has such potential. Well, and I don't even know if potential is the right word, but has such ability that he's already tapped into. It's just a matter of longevity.
And he's such a cerebral guy as well to be thinking in terms too.
Absolutely.
Want to get into the rotation here in just a moment. Blues are in action tonight, and you can see that game on Fox Sports Midwest and on television. Blues at LA. See it at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill. Great sponsor on our podcast and ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. Remarkable game for the Blues last night. Bud Family beer specials. $4 Jack Daniel cocktails, the $5.99 Blue Sampler, all at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill, 11 area locations. There is one near you. And, Derek, you need to get your hair cut? I'm not sure. Do you?
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask. I'm good with it, but some people think I do.
Well, if you do, when you go back home, you know the place to go, and that's Hair Saloon for Men, right?
I have been told... I've been able to listen to you do these reads. I know about Shoe Shop.
Well, that's right. And if you need your haircut and you want the complimentary shoe shine, and if you'd like a hot towel and a mint, and you want the relaxing shampoo, well, you can do that. And you can take young Ian in there. And you guys can go where men feel comfortable, and that's Hair Saloon for Men, and both of you can go in there, $22 to get your haircut. So next time you need the haircut, I'll send you in there. I bet they give you a deal even on the $22, and that's Hair Saloon for Men. And then go watch a little Blues hockey, and you'll really feel like men. And maybe you will sit down, and you'll watch the game, and maybe Ian will meet his future wife at Hot Shots. So let's move on.
Wait, let's hope his mother doesn't listen to the podcast here.
Well, I mean,
she's trying to delay the inevitable.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. It is early March, and I do want to ask you, if you had to lay the starting five right now down on paper in terms of the rotation, no particular order, who would you have?
Jack Flaherty sure seems to, have the edge here. Miles Michaelis already named as the opening day starter. That's two. Michael Wacha has been every bit as impressive as he has been overlooked. So that's three. I think Adam Wainwright has done nothing to lose the pronouncement that Mike Schilt made. Mike Schmidt would be a different Mike down here. Mike Schilt has made. and that he's in the rotation. So that leaves the fifth spot, correct? We have Michaelis, Flaherty, Waka, Wainwright. And I think at this point, I wouldn't overlook Dakota Hudson. I think Dakota Hudson has put himself in a spot where he's made it difficult to overlook. I do think that his hold on it is tenuous, in part because of the role he could play in the bullpen, in part because John Gant has a few more starts to make his case. But I do think Gant as a long reliever or in Dakota Hudson's role intrigues the Cardinals, or at least they think he can do that. I'm also rising on the horizon is Alex Reyes mm-hmm. and how they determine to use him. He appeared against the Phillies in a game that we talked about, which was just just the Cardinals saying, look at our pitching, here we go. Aren't you looking forward to this in October, Phillies? And then, he was jumpy. He was Alex Reyes, didn't have the best command. His mechanics weren't consistent. Adrenaline was rushing through him, all that stuff. And I think, when you think about what he can do with his stuff, and as that comes together, as he gets used to the adrenaline, and he always warned us that that was going to be the case. He's like, until I get in a game, I don't really know what any of this is going to feel like. Now he does. The next time he gets in a game, it'll be another inning. And the next time after that he gets in a game, it could be a start. It could be 2-3 innings. Next time after that, it could be 4-5 innings. Next time after that, it could be the season. And while he won't open the season likely ready to go 100 pitches, he could open the season likely to go 80, and that completely fits within their window of managing his innings so that they know what they're going to get over the long haul.
Interesting. Boy, I'm just writing down some names right now, and I just don't know where they go. I mean, Myers out of options, Gant out of options. You got Gomber, the lefty. You got Reyes, if he's not in the rotation. You've got Brebbia with options. You got Leon with options. You got Daniel Ponce de Leon. I mean, man, oh, man, they've got some tough decisions coming up, don't they?
Right, but let's not overlook, and it's not ideal for the guy, but let's not overlook the value of having a number six starter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In Memphis. He's not going to be getting major league service time. He's not going to get major league, pay, which, let's be blunt about it. But he is going to be very valuable to the major leagues because he's going to satisfy or serve as the insurance who's ready to start. The worst thing that a team can do, and especially a contending team, is expose itself to not having a guy ready to handle innings on a moment's notice. And again, it's not ideal for the guy because he's in AAA. It's not ideal for the guy because he's not getting service time, not getting salary. But it's so important to the team that they have a Gomber or a Ponce de Leon or, I don't know how this happens, but a Hudson in AAA. Ready to be the number six or number seven starter. I will add, though, that Jacob Woodford is putting himself in that mix, and that's sure. super valuable to the team to have a known quantity like him ready to go if needed.
Like the St. Louis Cardinals, Design Air Heating and Cooling has been around for over 100 years, and the reason why, they take care of their customers. I'm a Design Air customer, and I highly recommend them. This is Dan McLaughlin. Remember, it's time to get your annual AC tune-up for all your air conditioning needs. See my friends at DesignAirService.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. And it's hard to stop a train. Design Air Heating and Cooling, proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll talk more tomorrow. By the way, where is Ryan Helsley in all this?
So Ryan Helsley is the, I hesitate to, it feels like a lazy comp, but it is the comp, is he's the Trevor Rosenthal of 2019.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's going to make a strong impression in spring training, not quite win a spot, partially because of crowds, partially because of performance, partially because of contracts, all those things. But he's the one who is going to leave an echo in the major league staff's ear of what is possible. And he's going to head off to the minors and be on the doorstep of the majors and be a factor. And I also think, to a slightly lesser degree, Yennesis Cabrera is also going to be in that. Tyler Webb could also be one of those. Helsley's the head of the class there. But these other guys, they could leave an impression in spring and be called on and be a factor by August.
Woo, a lot of arms. Derek, thanks so much. We'll talk again tomorrow as we wrap up the week. Thanks so much.
Dan, can I add one thing?
Yeah.
You do say a lot of arms, and I think we're entering an interesting stretch of spring where the Cardinals will be more involved in trade, but I also want to spin the dial forward a little bit, and maybe this is something we can revisit throughout the season, is all these arms, if they continue to perform like they're capable of, are going to give the Cardinals a chance to do something they haven't in a while, and that's make an impact in July. When I look at this roster, that's where I think they can make the most significant move.
Yeah.
Not with a free agent at this point, though there are some fine appealing guys out there, but not with a free agent, but with a trade in July that says, all right, cool. Spend a few months contending, maybe lead the division, maybe, you know, tie it up a little bit with the Cubs, maybe mix it up a little bit with the Brewers, fend off the Reds. That's great. Then make a trade that pushes them ahead. And this team could do that. They have the depth.
Yeah, they certainly do. Derek, we'll catch you up tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Looking forward to it, Dan. Thanks.